Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
And I'm not giving you scriptures because I've already done it. I'm summating for it. But you go back to John 15 and 16, he's already told. He said in the 16th chapter, it's expedient. It's vital for you that I leave. Why? He couldn't do it. But then in Acts chapter 2, what happens? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty stream. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance, verse 1 through 4 says. Woo, glory to God. Then you get down around verse 32 and 33, and Peter stands up and he says, and we are his witnesses. And we're here to tell you those things which you are now seeing and hearing, he has sent forth. Hallelujah. Meaning what? He's there. Glory to God. Every time somebody talks in tongues, I have to go, woo, that's a sign that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a witness that he ascended up into heaven and he poured out the Holy Ghost. So how did Jesus fulfill Pentecost? By pouring out the Holy Spirit and the church launching across the world. Amen. So the first four feasts. Now the first three happened there in March, the end of March, 1st of April. This year it's April. And then the other one's down around in June. Praise God. So you have the early spring feasts of first fruits, of presenting the first fruits. Then you had the summer feast of presenting the summer harvest. But then, now we get into the fifth feast. And that fifth feast is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, from the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Trumpets is a long span of time. Because the Feast of Trumpets is down in the seventh month. Now remember the first three in the first month, and then 50 days later, so about a month and a half later, then you have the Feast of Pentecost. But then after Pentecost, right there in early June, you got from early June down to September, the first day of September in our calendar, for the Feast of Trumpets. Now, what does that represent? That time between Pentecost and Trumpets is the church age. That's the time of growing the crops. That's the time of spreading the gospel. And God shows us there's a time span there. Notice the first four were pretty quick, but then all of a sudden, there's a length of time between the fourth one and the fifth one. Amen. We hear in today, if you read, Rosh Hashanah, I think is the way you say that, somewhere like that, is what the Feast of Trumpets is. And so we go into that. Now, what is the Feast of Trumpets? How is Jesus going to fulfill the Feast of Trumpets? Well, let's think here. When the Feast of Trumpets came around, you're down into the fall. You're reaping the largest harvest of the year. Okay? The spring harvest was good up in Pentecost. But then now you're down into the fall. I mean, you're getting the full measure. And now you've got all these people out in the fields, and they're reaping in the grain. They're bringing in the harvest. The harvest is ripe, and they're out here working together. And in those days, you would have Jew and non-Jew alike out there working the fields. A lot of the Arabs work. You know, Israel had different ones. Still yet today, they work together and do certain things, the ones that don't want to kill us, you know. But anyway, they would be out there working the fields. When the Feast of Trumpets would come, which he says is the first day of the seventh month. Let's go ahead and read it. I didn't read it here, I don't think. But he says, and you shall count for yourselves. It's called the Feast of Week or the Feast of Harvest. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. See, from that day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. That's Pentecost. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So in verses 23, 24, and 25, we have the Feast of Trumpets here is the first day of the seventh month. Now, as I was saying, you've had from Pentecost to Trumpets. Now, Trumpets comes around. It's the first day, the seventh month. what happens? The high priest on this holy day goes out on the southwestern wall, the parapet of the temple, and he takes the ram's horn, the shofar, the trumpet. That's what the Bible means when it's a trumpet. And he stands on that southwestern wall and he begins to blow that trumpet. And that ram's horn sound of trumpet, that sound begins to travel throughout all that region. It goes out in all the fields. And what happens is when they hear that trumpet sound, they know that they are now entered into the Feast of Trumpets. They have now entered into a holy convocation. They can't work anymore. They could work right up to the second before that high priest blew the trumpet. They could work while he was walking through the temple. They could work while he was walking and climbing up on the wall. They could walk while he was carrying that shofar up to the side. They could walk until he put it up. They could work till he put up to his lips. But when he began to make blasts on that trumpet sound, then all the faithful believers stopped what they were doing, even though there was more harvest to make. Even more, there was more stuff to be brought in. They stopped the harvesting and turned and went to the temple to worship God. Now, here's the difference. All the non-believers would hear the trumpet, and these crazy Jews and these believers would turn and go from the fields back to the temple, and they would just keep working. Because, you see, that trumpet didn't mean anything to them. And all of a sudden, we begin to hear, there'll be two in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. So what does this do? It clearly shows us a picture of the rapture of the church. That the church will be working in the fields of the world right up to the moment that the Lord Jesus blows that trumpet as our Lord and High Priest. And we as believers will hear the trumpet and we'll stop our work and go to be with the Lord, and the rest of the world will just keep on going because it means nothing to them. So what is the Feast of Trumpets? The Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled. How will the Lord fulfill it? Through the rapturing up of the church. He was crucified on Passover. He was buried on unleavened bread. He was raised from the dead on first fruits. He sent the Holy Ghost to equip us on Pentecost. And he's coming back for us on trumpets. Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill each and every one of these feasts. Amen. Now, let me show you some things about this great Feast of Trumpets, this rapturing of the church. See, it says that trumpets actually begins on the seventh new moon. Isn't that amazing? The seventh month, he calls us home. Hallelujah. Significant, isn't it? Now, let me show you something. I want to give you three great revelations concerning the rapture tonight that you might not have thought of. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to begin with. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. I'm reading out the New King James. It brings it out just a lot clearer. I won't have to explain the words to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Was the first great revelation of rapture that we need to be aware of and see and get out of the trumpets? We need to have the first revelation that the church is going to be raptured on the Feast of Trumpets. Did you hear me? Now you sit there and all of a sudden you say, now wait a minute, Pastor, nobody knows the time nor the day. Just be quiet before you say anything. And you may find out that that's not exactly true, okay? Let's read it before we make some conclusions. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who die in the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Everybody say, by the word of the Lord. This isn't Paul, this isn't religion, this is God's word to us. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, we're not going to go before anybody. But notice here, that we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord, that means they're going to be believers that are alive when Jesus comes back. That's the first thing you got to see here. We are going to have people that are going to still be alive and remaining on earth. The church is not, everybody's not going to die out and then it's going to, no. They're going to be believers alive when Jesus comes back. Okay? Now, what's going to happen? He said, when Jesus comes back, we're not going to precede those that have already died. Okay? For the Lord himself, verse 16, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Now what happens when the trumpet of God is blasted? And the dead in Christ will rise first. When do they rise? When the trumpet sounds. Come on, folks. The trumpet has always signified God's changing. When Joshua went in to take over Jericho, what did he say? When you hear the trumpet sound, shout and go up and take the city. Hallelujah. And that's a type and a shadow of the church being raptured and caught up and moving into the blessing of God. Amen. And so he says, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let me share something with you. And I will get into this in more detail in the final session. You must distinguish between the rapturing of the church and the second advent or the second coming of the Lord. Notice here that the Apostle Paul says, then we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When Jesus comes to rapture the church, he never touches down. But when he comes back with the second advent, Zechariah says his feet hit the Mount of Olives and it splits in two. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So Paul is not talking about the second advent. He's talking about the catching up of the church. And he says, we will meet him in the air. We'll meet those who have gone on before us, and we'll meet Jesus in the air. Ooh, isn't that going to be something? So the church is raptured and caught up to be with the Lord at the sound of the trumpet. What trumpet do you think that is? I believe it's the Feast of Trumpets. Hallelujah. It's when the Lord blows the trumpet and says, your work on earth is over. But Lord, there's more people to save. Your work on earth is over. Come on home. We've got some worshiping to do. And I don't have time to get into it, but if I were to take you over into Romans 14, and he says that everybody's going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that word judgment there is Bema, B-A-M-A, and it means B-E-M-A, and it means the reward seat of Christ. And so when we are caught up to be with the Lord, we're not going to be judged for our sins. We're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness to God. Woo, this is a triumph. This is joy. This is worshiping God for not the harvest that you don't have. It's taking the harvest you got in your hands and going before God and celebrating the victory that you do have. So Jesus is saying here through the Apostle Paul, because this is the word of the Lord, here's how it's going to happen. The trumpet is going to sound, the graves are going to burst open, and you that are alive and remain are going to get caught up, and we're going to meet each other in the air. In this heavenly atmosphere right here on earth.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.